Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow it, just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Mess with MS. My name is Lisa Dreyer, and I have been on the Brain Injury Radio Network as a guest and on panel shows now for 2.5 years as a host on Mess with MS. When I was a child, I endured learning difficulties and had a seizure disorder. This was caused by cardiac arrest and lack of oxygen to my brain as a premature infant. Until I was an adult, when I finally realized that what I thought was a learning disability was actually a brain injury. I've been struggling with awkward health difficulties for a while. Then, a CT scan showed an abnormal brain reading, and I laughed, saying that I know that I have an abnormal brain already. Tell me something that I don't know. Then they told me I had MS, and I took the news with ease, not knowing that it was one of the most hard, difficult, serious health complications you can have. From my first interview, I've said that my outlook on life would be, find the beautiful around you and stay calm. That is where my movement, MS Beautiful, came from. While it is important to acknowledge our MS or our brain injury, it is also important to remember to relax when we can, to have fun, to try to learn new coping mechanisms, and to try to meet and communicate with the important and new people in our lives. MS is one of the most debilitating neurological diseases there are. When I discovered that I was diagnosed with it, it changed my life. I only knew to continue approaching life the way I always had, as a survivor. That does not imply that I did not make mistakes along the way, as people do when the road they thought they were taking in their life turns into a new one. Through friendship, family, spirituality, and the many role models I had, I began to beat back the monster of this disease. Therein, I opened my life to the journey of adventure, learning things any normal person can do to enhance their lives after MS and brain injury. I hope you will come along with me and my guest venture and find the positive in what seems to be all negative at first. So come on and join in me on Mess with MS. Tonight we have a great guest in Stacey Marie Bolt, and I hope she joins us sometime soon. Stacey has been on this show before. She's been on the show before last year, and she was on the show talking about how she pretty much changed the MS world when she made one video and shared it with everyone on YouTube. And she complained, basically. She complained and she shared about how hard it was for everyone, how hard and how really it can feel terrible sometimes when you have MS or when you have many conditions that are like MS, and people don't understand us. They don't understand us, and they don't understand our conditions. And they don't get that our trying so hard, and yet we can't get through, and we just are working and working and working, and we're trying, and people just don't get it. And it's tough. And, yeah, Stacy really hit the nail on the head with that YouTube video. So I hope she can get through tonight. I know that she had some trouble the first time, so maybe she'll be able to get through. I invite anyone to call in tonight on our number, and I will give everyone our number in 1 second. Okay. Our number is, call in. Give me 1 second here. And I will give you our call in number. It's 424-243-9540. To call in to Mess with MS, it is 424-243-9540. So if you would like to talk about MS or any neurological condition with me, you may call into the studio at 424-243-9540. And I would like to take this time and share with you, all of you in the audience tonight, some of my personal thoughts from my blog. There is something at my core that is just, it is individual, Lisa. It is what makes me different from everybody else. It is not the person that is an advocate for MS or has information about everything under the sun. I don't think I am that person. I don't think I am a doctor. If anything, I'm sort of healer. I'm an empath. I'm a friend. I'm somebody who cares and cries big tears and smiles and hugs. I'm love. I'm everybody. Yes, I have knowledge, but I have more emotion than anything. I choose to spend my time right now being happy and soaking in much wonder and new information as I can to share and know myself, to help people, to love the people I get to know through my groups and my show. I love when I can help people. I love setting up MS beautiful shoots and my group events and radio shows. That is what makes my life great. My life with Christopher, my friends and family. My memories can provide entertainment sometimes, when they are good memories. I choose not to focus on the toxic. I focus on being active away from the computer as much as possible, with friends, in the garden, reading, writing, traveling, doing all the things, having a busy life. What about you? So, what about you guys? What do you do? Oh, caller. Hello, 704 number.
Hello?
Hello?
Lisa, can you hear me?
Yes, hi. Welcome to
finally.
Your show.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I don't even know
I
how
was
that
just
works.
Reading my blog. I was like, okay, I'm going to go into, like, emergency mode. What am I doing tonight? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited it worked. I was, like, freaking out. I was like, I don't know why it wasn't working because it's the same number. I even had it saved in my phone. But I ran inside, and I was like, ever needed you. Now is the moment. He was like, what do you want? And I was like, I need your cellular device right now. I don't know if it's because I called off a different phone or what. Pre-saved the night, the day.
Yay. Good. I'm so glad. Well, it's so good to have you here.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be back. I really am.
Yeah. Yay. I'm so glad you're here. It's been a while.
I know. Wait, should I tell it? Well, I'm Stacy for everybody.
Yeah.
We just had phone difficulties.
Stacy Marie Bull. She's my friend who's, like, we've never met, but she's, like, my friend who's not a friend. I feel like she's my friend. My personal friend.
Yes. You're, like, Stacey. One of my... I have very few personal family friends, and that you are.
Yeah. Stacy got me involved in being an MS advocate. I literally reached out to Stacy and said, how do you do what you do? Because I want to do it. And that's how I got involved doing what I do now, because she inspired me.
I still get all giddy and cheesy and smiley when somebody says that I inspire them or I inspire them and stuff, and it does. It's just a big old grin on my face because, I don't know, I feel blessed to hear those words.
I'm sure you get thousands of that a day considering, like, how many people you know and how many friends you have, and,
it's crazy because I say it every time, like, I don't see myself as any inspiration or anything. I just flattering, and it does, it makes me blush and everything when I hear that, but I have a friend from high school who I just reconnected with. I guess they just moved back to the area, and she's always been, like, supportive and, you know, always, like, reached out to me and stuff, but yesterday she told me that I was, like, this huge inspiration, and, like, she would, like, listen to my videos and everything, and it was pretty incredible hearing somebody I went to high school with, somebody that I kind of only just, like, I was an acquaintance with in high school and everything, so for me to hear that, and I made my first video, you know, and then the others following, I made those less than 5 years ago, and I've been, my 10-year high school reunion is approaching, so that's somebody who was kind of out of my life for almost 10 years now, and then somebody who I was just only acquaintance with, like, 10 years ago, you know, never heard of saying that. I was like, oh, wow, thank you. yeah, it still shocks me, and everything when I hear stuff like that today.
Yeah, well, like I was just kind of saying to everyone what your video was about, and it's kind of like, yeah, well, Stacey's video, she was kind of like complaining about how she felt, but it's not really like you were complaining because you didn't feel well, and you were telling the truth about MS, really, and about neurological conditions.
Yeah, and I still tell people to this day, when I made that video, and this is for the whole world to hear, when I made that video, y'all, I did not intend or set out to make anything viral. I really didn't set out to get any negative feedback or positive feedback. I just made it to vent some incidents at work in regards with my employer, and of course, you know, my MS were made to me, and they were just completely inappropriate, and I was exhausted, so it could. I just want to keep classy vent session,
yeah.
A classy educational vent session. That's what that was.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not like you're sitting there saying the F word 20,000 times or anything. I mean, it's not like that. I mean, it could have been, you know?
Oh, yeah, it most definitely could have been. But, yeah, it was, I didn't even think that many people would see it.
It must have been really surprising that it was stuff like that.
It took off. It was crazy. I did not expect any of that. When I still look back on it, it's still kind of a shock.
I'm sure. Like, I remember when I was doing my physical therapy and I heard about it because people kept talking to me about, like, Lisa, you know, you have this acting background and, you know, you're really, you've got certain traits. You should do a video. And I was like, I'm not in the right place right now, you know. I don't really think I would do that well, you know, because I really wasn't in the right headspace to, like, put myself out there, you know, to make, like, a vlog or anything like that, to do it on purpose, you know. And then I heard about that, and I was like, well, maybe one day I would do something like 60. But, like, then I heard about you, and I was kind of like, yeah, maybe if I'm going to be writing this blog, maybe I should think about something like that. But, you know, I still wasn't thinking, like, oh, yeah, like, I'm going to put this on YouTube and, like, talk to thousands of people.
Mine's not even on YouTube. There's, like, only one video on YouTube, I think, maybe, and I can't remember which one it is, but mine are all uploaded to Facebook. And they would save up my phone, and my phone actually got stolen at the beginning of this year. And I got my phone back, but sorry, I was lighting a cigarette, which I do not recommend. Like, a cigarette there, but it's bad for you. All right. Anyways, this girl, she had a underage little child had stolen my phone one night, and so the way I had my phone set up, just in case if I ever locked myself out of my phone or anything, because hello, we all have MS, so we forget stuff. So just in case, I had the whole thing set up just in case I locked myself out of my phone, and it, you know, you can restart the phone to a factory reset, and when you do, I had it to where I had an option to send all media and everything on the phone, on memory basically, all the storage, to send it to my Google account. So she had the option for me to save all of my stuff on there, and she hit no. And then she was trying to sell it online on Facebook, but anyways, I got my phone back. But it was,
yeah.
So I got my phone back, but she had hit no, and I lost everything. So I don't even have those videos. And I don't know if there's a way I can save them from Facebook. I don't know. So, yeah.
That's terrible. Yeah, I would.
Yeah, and I never put them on YouTube because it could have just been my internet at the time, but it was always slow when I would try to upload them on YouTube. So that's why I never did that. But I just thought I'd throw that out there because I'm still trying to figure out how to save them from Facebook.
Yeah. But you still have, like, your page and your groups and everything, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yeah. And can you give everyone, like, the information for your page and your groups and everything?
My page is still, it says Stacey Marie Bolt, but then it'll also say the Face of MS. And it has, like, I have not updated this page in forever, y'all, so please forgive me. I've had a lot of things going on in my personal life. So, but, yeah, if you go on Facebook, Stacey Marie Bolt, and then my actual page will come up, and then underneath it, it should be Stacey Marie Bolt and then a semicolon, and it'll say the face, face of the mess or something like that. And I can still log into it and everything, so I still have access to the page. And I pinky promise to everyone that I'm sorting out a bunch of things, like I said, a bunch of things around my life, but I will make time and go on the page and try to update it as much as I possibly can for everybody.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for that. Have we gone through the questions before? Like, I don't think we've done the questions.
We actually only got through, like, maybe five of the questions, and we ran out of time that time. We asked them. I don't remember if it was our first or second, but, yeah, or anyways, I know we only got to, like, five of them.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
Well, then, let's just skip some of them, and I'll go to the top one. I know we probably went through the diagnosed ones. When were you diagnosed with MS? And
yeah, we went through that.
We probably went through those. Well, you can tell everyone when you were diagnosed with MS now, anyways.
Do what now?
Yeah, you can tell everyone when you were diagnosed now, too.
Okay. Well, my medical diagnosis of MS, and I had no idea. I didn't even think it could possibly be an option before I was actually diagnosed with it. So my actual and medical diagnosis of MS was, I believe it was October the 15th, but it was October of 2012.
And did you know anything about MS then?
Honestly, I did not, and I think that's why I'm so passionate about people educating themselves, because when I went blind and the doctors told me, you know, multiple things it could have been, and one of them was a tumor in my brain. And I'm sorry, but a brain tumor is absolutely terrifying, whether it's cancerous or not, or if it's benign. I mean, or even if it's, there's a, I can't remember the name of it, but it's like a fluid-like sac that mimics the pseudotumor cerebri or something like that, but it mimics a tumor. And I'm sorry, all of that stuff is absolutely terrifying. So, and when I found out that it was, they said I had, it appeared I had multiple sclerosis from the scans. And I remember thinking, yes, I don't have a brain tumor. And I was so excited. And the doctor and a couple of nurses and nurse assistants were standing around me. They just, like, kind of looked at each other, and they looked at me like, oh, this poor, dear, sweet baby child doesn't know nothing because he didn't diagnose with multiple sclerosis. Yeah, it wasn't cancer and it wasn't a brain tumor, but it was definitely not a blessing to get diagnosed with MS.
Yeah,
I had a cure.
It's that's crazy because they told Chris he had a brain tumor too, and then they had a party when he actually didn't have a brain tumor. So yeah, not having a brain tumor is really good news. Other than your own experiences, do you read books, go to MS meetings, do anything like that to further your knowledge of MS?
I try to stay up to date.
Yeah, that's good. Me too. You know, I can't imagine not doing it. How has MS changed your life?
MS has changed my life a whole lot. MS has changed not just me. MS has changed me in different ways. I like to look at the positive way, so I like to think that getting diagnosed with an incurable disease, you know, one as severe as ours, that's pretty serious. That's not something most people can swallow as a pill, you know. And so, yeah, it changed my life, and I've chose to see the positive because I see things now that I'm able to put things into perspective now and, like, when I was younger, because I was only like 22 when I got diagnosed with MS. So most 22-year-olds aren't really always thinking. And if they are thinking, they're like, oh, I'm invincible. And at 22, I clearly had a huge slap in the face, like, ding dong, Stacy, you are not invincible, honey. So it made me grow the heck up. And I wasn't even a bad kid, child, nothing to begin with, but, you know, I think everybody needs to wake up call at some point, and that was given to me, and I chose to look at it on the bright positive side, because I can relate to so many more different things now, and it's taught me more about empathy and sympathy, and it's taught me a lot more about love and caring and being kind and everything, because when I see somebody with MS now, I don't care if you think I'm a freak. I'm just like, oh, my God, you have MS. I was like, that's so exciting to me. But, I mean, like, I'm not excited or happy that you're, like, sick. But I have it, too, and it makes me happy when I know that there's other people out there like me, so I don't feel like I'm alone. So, and I'm going to go now, but, like, it's really nice meeting you. Keep up the good fight, you know. There's always others of us out there, and we're all thinking about everyone. And so that's kind of how I am. That's how MS has kind of changed me. But it has impacted my close people around me. It's impacted their lives. So, yes.
Definitely.
But I'd like to say it changed me for the better. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But having MS does suck really bad. It's horrible. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I like to say that as bad as it sucks, it's brought a lot to my life. Like, it's brought so much to my life that it's changed.
It's brought
me
so much family. Family and love to my life that I much existed. And, dang, I'm pretty lucky, you know, that I have this much love and this much family in my life. So that's the way I look at it, too.
It brought me to you.
I know. It brought me to you. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I wouldn't have ever known you. Yeah. That's magic, you know.
Absolutely.
I think that's a blessing because you're awesome. And I hope
you're awesome.
No, and I really, I believe that. And I know that one day we're going to meet in person. And that's a gift.
We are.
That's a real gift.
And this is something that I've said to only so many people around me, just because I guess the way I could say it could come out wrong. But right now with my life, which everybody who knows me or knows of me on Facebook and everything, they know that I'm going through a chapter in my life, and my father, my best friend, is passing away, and he's been buried for a long time. He's had cancer for 17 years, and then on May 16th of last year, he had his whole urinary tract system was his bladder, both ureters, both kidneys, prostate, and everything he had removed, and he's put on dialysis, The plan was that he would go on dialysis for a year, and his doctor would be able to reconstruct my bladder, and I was his kidney transplant. I was his donor. And
and you could do that with all of the medication that you're on?
I am not allowed to be a organ donor, no. But, well, I'm not on any medications now. But the ones that I've used in the past, like Tysabri, I'm not an organ donor now. However, because my father is my direct relative, and his case is a rare genetic serious cancer, he signed a paper basically stating that I, his daughter, was giving him a kidney, and he knew of my health conditions and the drugs I'd been on.
Because that is good to know for me, because, like, we have a lot of cancer genes in my family. And for me, I mean, like, if anyone in my family needed my organs, like, I would want to be able to give them my organs. And like I said, we have a lot of cancer in my family. And, like, I grew up seeing members of my family pass away and having members of my family get cancer was something that happened frequently. And, you know, I know how it is to deal with someone getting sick in the family. I know your dad is just sick right now, and that you're dealing with that. My cousin, when I was younger, was sick, and I mean, thank the Lord, like he's still with us, like he's
thank God
recovered. Yeah, he recovered. I mean, like, he was stage four, and then he got better. I mean, like, and
oh,
he was
wow.
in his 20s. Yeah, he was in his 20s, and everyone said that he was going to pass away. But, I mean, he got better. It was amazing. And they said, you know, he's never going to walk again. He's never going to do this. He's never going to do that. But he got better. He had a cancer the size of a grapefruit, and then he got better. It was amazing.
Yeah, I love hearing things like that. Because, like, when my dad was diagnosed, you know, I try to look on the bright side, I have learned a lot from it, but I've known of sickness and everything since I can't remember. So I've known it my whole life. He was diagnosed, like, 16 or 17 years ago. And with cancer, with bladder cancer, and this man was able to contain it in his bladder only for 15 years, and he worked a full-time job, and he never cheated on my mama, you know, he remained faithful, he was a great husband, he was a great dad, well, sometimes he sucks, but he knows that. Oh, he's my best friend, but, you know. And when times when he had to do chemo and stuff, this man, wow, the more I think about it now, he was just so strong and amazing. So,
That's what they said about my cousin. They said he would never walk again. He would never have children because they had he had a cancer the size of a grapefruit in his groin area. And he had children. He did walk again. I mean, he was like 21, 20. He was 21, and he graduated college. He walked again. He had children. He graduated summa cum laude from Stanford. I mean, like, it was amazing. So miracles can happen, like, all the time. They do happen, so.
They do, and, like, sometimes, like, I believe miracles do happen. And I actually was just asked this. Excuse me, sorry. I think I might have just inhaled a bug. I think I was a small man. Excuse me. Ow. Nasty. But
hopefully he's still alive.
But so if not, you know, we all know what happened. I totally just forgot I had an MS brain fart. What was I about to say? What were you just talking about? It was so good what I was about to say.
Yes,
what did you ask
me? I don't know, but we were talking about miracles and
cancer. Miracles. Okay.
And
somebody asked me the other day, and it got me thinking, because I told them I actually could not answer that, and then I texted them, not the next day, but the day after. So 2 days later, but they asked me, they're like, how can you believe in miracles, Case, if your dad's dying, Stacey, someone you love so much, and, you know, really missed, died just a little over a year ago, how can you believe in miracles, Stacey? Have you ever really asked yourself, why did you get MS? And so I thought about it for a few days. And I only answered on behalf of my dad and everything because that's all I wanted to comprehend at that moment, you know. But here's my miracle. The day my parents sat me down and told me my dad had cancer, I thought my world was ending, man. I watched cancer already take 3 of my family members, 1 being my grandmother. And I was like, oh, my God. This is so horrible. And he was diagnosed with stage 3. He had to have an immediate, emergency surgery after his diagnosis. So I did. I saw my dad. I was going to lose my dad right then and there. And it's terrifying. But here I am, and here he is 17 years later. I'm not going to say he's losing his battle because, dude, if you can fight a battle, this man has fought this battle, phenomenal, man. This many years after, that's strong, that's strength. That's motivation, that's preservation. You know, I mean, he's everything. And so, yeah, I do believe in miracles because, you know, that day I'm pretty sure I prayed to God for him to save my daddy. And the way I look at it right now, I'm looking through my screen door and I see him standing right there. With Justin and my mom. Oh, dude. He's wearing neon yellow shorts. But I see him standing right there, and that's my miracle. I do believe in miracles because you know what? God has a reason why he does everything. I think, you know, I was a little girl. That many years ago, I prayed for him to save my daddy, and I'm 26, almost 27, and I'm looking at that man walking right now.
Yeah.
So that's a miracle.
I believe in miracles. I mean, I know that I wasn't supposed to be alive, and I'm sitting here and I'm alive. I mean, I was born way, way, way too early, way, way, way underweight.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't supposed to be here. I survived a cardiac arrest. I mean, I shouldn't be alive, and I'm still alive. I mean, and I've had many incidents happen since then that I shouldn't have lived through, and yet I'm still here.
Right.
There's there's things that happened to me in my life that I shouldn't have lived through, and yet I'm still here, you know. And so for some reason, God just wants me on this planet. I don't know why.
Exactly.
And
I think there's just a reason. He has a reason for everything. And like my dad, he was not a Christian. However, a few months ago, he decided he was like to explore it just a little bit more and everything, and recorded his baptism just a few weekends ago. So the way I look at it is, wow, my dad finally made that commitment to Christ, and excuse my French, but damn, how lucky is he, because he just became a Christian, and now he gets to go spend eternity with the Lord here soon. That's freaking beautiful.
I don't know if it's something like about God or the universe, or it can be whatever you believe in, but
right.
Everybody has that
hope, faith of a higher power, someone to look forward to, someone that can guide them. Every single human being, even if you say you're an atheist or you get what I'm saying. So it's that hope, it's that love,
it's that a connection.
Strength, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I mean, like, I think that's important when you have a brain injury, or when you're sick and you have MS, or whatever, you need to have something to rely on.
Yes, everybody needs someone to rely on, someone, you know, everybody needs that. But especially when we do have TBI, a traumatic brain injury.
That is
a very, very, that's a good, I like to say that's very good, well, that's my foundation. I'm growing from, you know. I'm glad that I have that hope, that faith, that love, and I have that belief in a higher power, you know. And I grow from that, and it helps me handle, you know, my life with this disease. Absolutely.
Now, you work for
I'm not answering because I'm not quite sure where I work at the last time I talked to you. So what's the last thing you remember?
Well, you work as a waitress, correct?
Well, what I do is I'm nationally licensed and certified in pharmacy as an assistant in a tech form. That's what I do, and I've been doing that for 10 years. But, yes, I'm a waitress also, and I have served a couple other places. Like when I lived in South Carolina, I'm currently residing in North Carolina. But I was a waitress in South Carolina, and I have worked at a couple other places, but most recently Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay.
And then, besides the stuff that I do for MS and everything, and the local stuff I do, and I work for like a cat rescue thing, so that's volunteer. So
that's awesome.
That.
Wow. What do you do with the cat rescue?
What was that?
I would love to do something like that. That would make me so happy. What do you do with them?
Oh, my gosh. It totally makes me happy because, like, no lie, when I am having a super crappy day, whether it's, you know, something going on, like something with my dad or something else, or if it's my MS, dude, I will literally, like, pick up one of these kittens and I'm like, will, like, play with his ears, and I'm like, hey, kitty, and I've named him just recently, but I'll, like, lay it up against my face, like, on my chest, and I'll, like, sit down or anything, and the kitten will, like, snuggle up to me and, like, start purring, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Remember when I said I hated y'all because your litter box stank? Forgive me because I love you, and they made me so happy.
That's so sweet. That is super sweet. So you take care of them for like a couple months and then they go to their new owner?
Yeah. And these two kittens actually did not go through the agency. These two kittens were, I had a stray cat come up like over a year ago and it got pregnant. At one time I thought it was a girl. At one time I thought it was a boy named Peter Pan, and then I found out that the boy is definitely a girl because it got pregnant. So I have a girl stray cat named Peter Pan who got pregnant, and she had four kittens on my back porch. And two of them did not survive because they actually got away from me. Well, I don't know. They got away, and I was not able to get them. So three things could happen. One, it was raining. So, unfortunately, we have drains around here. It could have been that.
Yeah.
Or the other thing is some kids picked them up, and their parents let them keep them. Or some teenagers or some crazy lady like me picked them up and has them. So, yes.
Yeah.
But I have two of them in my house now, and these are the longest cats I've ever, these kittens that I've ever kept, without knowing what I was going to do with them. I just knew that I didn't even start feeding Peter Pan. My dad started feeding Peter Pan, so technically it's his fault we have two kittens. So I always let him know that when he's like griping about something with the kittens. I'm like, hey, bro, you told me not to feed that cat. I did not feed that cat. You fed that cat. He had just been on disability. He wasn't working. And he liked to drink his coffee outside in the morning. And that he saw the stray cat, Peter Pan. So then after the cat started coming up to him after like a couple of weeks, he started feeding it. So anytime he gets upset about the kids, I'm always like, that's your fault, Daddy.
Do you still have the two houses?
The other house at the beach?
Yeah,
after that happened in June of last year, I eventually I let it go, and
okay.
It was gone by about September, October. So yeah,
that just seemed like a big chore to deal with two.
It was, and I will be completely honest. There is one closet in there that I was physically I was tired. You know, that was to recover from that big, huge surgery of like 8 hours. And, you know, I lost my best friend, So I was so emotionally tired. But, yeah, there was a closet I couldn't even clean out. I didn't know it was in there. But, yeah, I just had to let it go, you know.
Yeah. I can't imagine having two houses when you're a young thing, but still, like, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, you're still working and everything, but, like, so what about all the stuff that you do for MS? Like, what do you do exactly? Do you do group meetings or, like, do you do the cruises and all that?
I've done online group meetings and sessions. I've done a lot of stuff through Skype. And then I have been invited, I think, it's either three or four times, I'm not sure, to attend the MS cruise hosted by several different nonprofits, and one of them being MS Station, however. You know, when you encounter the type of situations I have encountered in a small amount of time and are still encountering, financially that was impossible. But, you know, I would have loved, and I haven't made it to any, there's some from a group called We're Not Drunk, We Have MS, where I actually met Jesse Noel Nuss and Matt Fiona from. I met them in that group, they do, like, reunions and stuff, and I haven't even gone to a reunion because financially I've not been able to pick and go. And, like, right now, the point of my life, I can't pick up and go anywhere because I went somewhere one time, and I went to Justin's mother's house, and I got a phone call that my father had stopped breathing. And I had to hurry, like, just hurry.
yeah, no kidding.
And I had to get to the hospital because my dad stopped breathing. And
yeah.
And before this, he had stopped breathing when he was driving. And
yeah.
He was bleeding out of his mouth and, like, coughing, throwing up blood, and he was driving. And my mom was in the car. I wasn't there. My mother was in the car. And he looked at my mom, and he took his right hand off the steering wheel. He started drawing 911 with his fingers. And at that time, he started to slump over a little bit. My mom was able to veer them off the road, and she called 911. So, like, right now, I can't go anywhere. And that's, you know, Jesse, she's moved to Georgia, and is with Matt now and everything, and hell, I love her to death, but I just don't know. Some people don't really know the full story that I just can't pick up and go anywhere right now. I refuse to. I don't know if that makes me a shitty friend or not, but I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But yeah, so, and when this chapter of my life has changed, you know, then I hate to say this, but it's almost like I've maybe kind of put everyone else on a hold right now. And the reason can sound good or bad, but that's kind of how it is right now. But yes, if in the future I was invited to do something like that and I was able to plan for it, you know, financially and everything, I would be able to pick up, you know, and go do that.
Well, it's one thing to be invited. It's another thing for people to pay for you to do it. You know,
right?
It's
another
thing to be a paid guest.
Yeah, and I've never been. Well, I've been offered multiple times. You know, that my finances would be covered, and been offered for a free all-expenses paid trip and everything, and you know that fell through with her and that group. So I'm not mad at them. I just, you know, things happen. So, yeah, I just have not been offered any other way, you know, from anybody else.
Yeah, if they're going to cover you, that's one thing. If you're going to be, like, a paid guest, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's another thing if you have to pay your own way.
Yeah.
I mean, I deal with that, too. And it's financially very hard because I know what you mean. I mean, I only make $700 a month, and I can't do things on my budget either.
Well, I'm not even working anymore. I don't work at Buffalo Wild Wings anymore. My doctor just recently, a few weeks ago, told me that my mother has spent more of her life with my father than she has without him. And whenever his passing does happen, she is going to fall apart. And, you know, and she basically told me that I was too and everything. But also she said he's going through some changes and he didn't need to be left alone and stuff. And then I had, like, a little meeting talk with her, with my mother and stuff, and they agreed that it was best for my mental health to reduce the chances of me going into a multiple sclerosis relapse, and I do suffer from depression, and to reduce the chances of depression, you know, with what's going on, and it was agreed upon for, you know, it would help my mother that if I wasn't working that I would be able
to clean around the house, to do things that she can't do because she's still working on a part-time job and everything. And also, we were told by my father, or one of my father's cancer doctors, that he couldn't be alone anymore.
Well, can you take temporary disability?
Do what now?
I mean, like temporary disability and get, you know,
I wasn't at Buffalo Wild Wings long enough for that. So they couldn't offer it to me. And, you know, oh, and I'm trying to begin the process for fighting for disability. I started over a little over a year ago and everything. Because right now this is a miracle that I am still alive and functioning while this is going on, because thank you God that I have not relapsed that I'm aware of. There not too long ago I thought that I had relapsed. I finally went to a neurologist and everything. No, I have not relapsed. I'm set up to have an MRI done here in a couple of weeks. But, no, I have not relapsed with everything that's going on here in the past two years, we'll say.
Have your seizures been?
Do what now?
Have your seizures been?
How have my 2 years been?
Yeah.
They've been absolutely horrible. Absolutely.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I lost teeth, and then at one point we thought my dad was actually cancer-free, and we were, like, preparing for, you know, this transplant, and then we were told that it seeded in his lungs, that it was so small they could never pick it up on a scan until now, and that it was aggressive as hell, you know, which, so it's kind of like we kind of had, like, a happy dance sort of kind of, and then they gave us the bad news, you know? But, yeah, the past 2 years have been horrible, to say the least. Now there's actually a word available that's ever been created that could describe how the past 2 years of my life have been.
No, but with your epilepsy.
Everything has stopped except the Crohn's disease. I mean, I still have, like pseudo-exacerbations with my MS and stuff. I still have those, especially since it's gotten hot outside yet.
Yeah. So everything stopped, your epilepsy, but the Crohn's is still
I've only had, like, 3 seizures since June of last year. Justin would have to tell you about those. Thank God for him, because he's, you know, stayed with me for, I'm not a bad girlfriend, I'm not. I think we've been together, like, 4 or 5 years. We would have to ask him, and he actually just left. But I think I've only had 3 seizures, and he would be the one, you know, that, I mean, I sleep with him, right beside him, you know, so he would be the one that knew. But I think there's been 3 that I know of, and I don't know if they were actually epileptic or if they were MS-induced related. My Crohn's disease sure has not, you know, let up or anything, but... And my, you know, female stuff, like endometriosis and stuff, that's been different. And now since the weather's gotten hotter, my back has been hurting really bad, and I have scoliosis. Sorry, that was my MS made-up word. I have scoliosis and spina bifida, and I do have a slip disc. So it could be multiple reasons, but... In the heat, they're worse. I do know that. So I think that is contributed because of the MS.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know that slip disc can make it. I mean, I have one too, so I know that it can make your back hurt more and make it more difficult.
Yeah, and it kind of does it feel like you always want to pop your back, or you need to pop it or something, like, just it's something's just not right, and it's painful at times, very painful. Well, see, I never could until recently, and I can only pop it in one spot.
Yeah, me too.
You should probably go to a chiropractor, Lisa.
Yeah, it's so impossible, like, And I always thought it was because, I mean, I hate to say this. Okay. I always thought it was because I have a large rack.
Me too.
I guess it's because, like, it's just, I don't know, because I have a bad back, so that's why. But yeah, it's hard. It's really hard to crack my back. And my neck too.
I don't know how to pop my neck.
My neck cracks much easier than my back.
I don't know how to do mine.
And my jaw cracks super easy.
I don't know how to crack anything. I don't know how to crack my thumbs either, like pop them, and I really wish I did. Because, like, when I find out somebody can pop thumbs, like, I don't...
My fingers all crack really easy.
Well, yeah,
actually,
I can crack all my fingers except my thumbs. But I'll walk...
Yeah,
I'm
my
like
thumbs I can't
of,
do either.
Yeah, if I'm around a group of people, I'll, like...
I wish I could
like,
do my toes, but I can't.
Yeah, I can kind of pop my toes.
I always try to, but I can't.
Yeah.
I think I annoy people because, like, I'm always flexing my toes. I don't know.
I play with my fingers a lot. Like, I move them and my hands a lot.
Yeah. I move my
neck and my back
a lot.
If anybody ever says anything, I'm just like, I think it's an MS kick. Like, I think our brains give us, like, kicks and shit, you know? Well,
yeah.
Sorry we say that.
It's okay.
Because, like, we have all these nerve sensations.
Yeah.
And they're
I move
wrong,
my,
you know?
I move my, my wrists a lot, too. And I move, I don't know, but I think that's good because we're stretching. Stretching is helping. Yeah, that's good. I don't know, but.
It's just my right one. I think it's
I don't
good.
Know.
Like, I don't
popping
have
is good
it.
Because it's like supposedly
it releases a fluid. Everybody who says don't pop your knuckles is bad for them. It makes them big. That's false. It's a myth. It's completely inaccurate. I've had an orthopedic surgeon tell me that popping your knuckles is actually good for you because in your knuckles and your joints you have these sacs of fluid that fill up. That fluid has to be released. If not, it will cause stiffness, early onset arthritis, and it can, like, cripple your fingers. And, yeah, and that's what makes them big and bulge. So it is good
so,
to crack and pop things, guys.
So what are you releasing when you crack everything else in your body? That's what I want.
Yeah, like, all I know how is, like, pop my knuckles pretty good. I can pop some of my toes. I can pop my, I'm so sorry, there's like this ambulance in the background and Justin just left here and it sounds pretty wicked, but I'm on my dad's phone, so I'm just going to ring his number on my phone real quick. I'll be able to hear you and everything.
Oh, no, it's okay.
And he knows I'm weird like this, so I'm just going to call him and make sure he's alive and then say love you and hang up. Our self-service is horrible.
Okay.
This is how my life is, Lisa. This is just how it's been for 26 years. I just can't figure it out. He didn't answer. All right, I'm just going to text him.
Okay, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Well, I can hear you. That's all that matters.
Yeah, good. The
okay,
mama cat, Pam, is out here beside me, Kate and Bug.
Aw, yeah, we have fireflies right now. Do you guys have fireflies there?
I grew up around, oh, Justin's calling me. That's good, he's alive. Hello?
Oh, hi, sorry, that was,
Justin.
I don't know. That was
Justin,
some noise.
Justin, can you hear me?
Okay.
Justin with Glen Ann.
Hello?
Yeah, Lisa, I'm here. I just need like 1 minute, okay?
Okay.
I think I hear like a ghetto fight starting over there. Why are you not answering, Justin? Well, I'm going to stay on the phone with you. Everything's fine. I'm not flipping out anything, but I'm going to walk inside for a moment and grab my keys because he's calling me now.
Hello?
Hey, Lisa, hold on 1 second. Hey, I heard an ambulance, and there's, like, an accident really bad, I guess, around Chick Fil A area, and I think I deserve, like, a ghetto, and it's fine to break out in the apartment before me, but I was calling to make sure you're alive. But clearly you are. Okay, all right, cool. All right, tell Jamarius I said, hey, I love you. I'll talk to you later, babe. I'm on the radio. Bye. Okay, I will. Love you. Bye. Okay, Lisa, thank you so much for that.
It's okay.
Okay. All right, cool. But, yeah, it does sound like there's a pretty wicked wreck at an intersection in front of my house. There's, like, a Chick-fil-A there. It's a very busy little spot. And I think I do hear a little backyard fight that broke out in the apartments over there. But I'm not worried. So we can continue. Everything's good. Thank you for putting up with that.
No, it's okay. I understand. Well, you know, we only have, like, a couple of minutes left, so, like,
mm-hmm.
I want to say good night and thank you so much for being on the air. And, yeah, big
thank
hug. And
me.
I hope we can do this really soon again. And, yeah, thank you so much,
yeah,
Stacey.
I would still
let's
like to schedule
phone call
it, so thank
soon.
You.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, thank you so much, and thanks for being on Mess with MS, and let's have a phone call real soon, okay?
Okay, sounds great to me. I love you. I'm very privileged to
I
be
love you too.
Talking to you, and everybody, I hope
okay.
y'all have a great, beautiful, blessed night.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the great conversation. Okay, bye, guys.
Bye,
everyone out there. Bye, Stacey.